What's up, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here, and we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by the Club App, the number one online community for DJs where you can stream for free and not get cut off. Today, we have DJ Tony Tempo here to tell us his amazing story about his journey in the DJ industry. Brother, can you please introduce yourself, tell the people where you're from and who you are?
Yes. This is International DJ Tony Tempo. I'm based out of, at this time, New York City. I was in Atlanta for the last 20 years, but I'm back in the mecca of DJing because there are a lot of DJs here. Oh my gosh. The whole Jersey, Connecticut area. Plenty of DJs.
Awesome, brother. We're super excited to hear your story, man. I know this is going to be a good one. Talk to us about the beginning days. What sparked your interest to become a DJ and how did you get started?
Well, I was always interested in the way how the DJs had their setup. But at that time, we did not have the two the techniques, the two separate ones. The only thing that we looked at was how the radio DJs had their setup. It was one big long console. And I always, for some reason, I had that music inside of me wanting to do that. So I started doing mixtapes and playing with that, juggling. And also, it was, how can I say? That's how I started in New York City, doing my mixtapes and branching out. And then when I got to Atlanta in 94, that's where my name, Tony Tempo, really hit because of the whole soca scene. And of course, of the internet. Now, I'm an IT professional, so I took advantage of the internet. I think I was the first soca DJ to be out on the internet. I brought soca to the internet with the mixes and actually with the music first, because I had contacts in Trinidad and they would send me music. I said, hey, I'm going to put this stuff on the internet so people will know, because what happens in Trinidad, if you're from New York or wherever in the States and you go down to Trinidad for carnival, you don't know the music, right? My idea is to have the music first, put it up there where people can listen to it, so when they go down to Trinidad, they'll be in the vibe. Because that happened to me. I went to Trinidad one time and I was like, I don't know this music. I don't know. So that's where that idea came on. And it kind of blew up from there. I started putting my mixes on there. And I want to think that I'm the first DJ on the internet. Never mind that it's just soca, reggae. I'm not sure about the other genres though, but I know soca and reggae, but I'm mostly known for a soca DJ, even though I'm very versatile, you know? And that's where everything kind of blew up from there. That's where a lot of people know me from. And also through my remixes, because I started doing a lot of remixes when CDs came out, because I knew how to do the multi-track mixing, but we didn't have a place to put it on. So CDs you can, you know, record onto the CD. So that's where I got kind of hyped on that and famous for that.
That's amazing, man. That's super exciting to hear that you really hit the ground running with your career in DJing. You know, walk us through the journey, you know, after you got started, you know, where did your career go from there? How did you, you know, learn the skill of DJing? How did you build the passion? You know, tell me a little bit about the early days and kind of your progression through the first kind of 5 years of your career.
Well, I started young, so of course, when scratching came out, everybody was scratching. I did my thing. I don't even do that anymore. For me, it was just basically R&B and hip hop music. I always liked how to blend music, and that's why I come in strong. I have this passion for music for some reason, and I listen to everything, and that makes it for a very good DJ. You got to do your homework and research all music. So just throughout the years, I just started graduating until I got my techniques and started getting gigs. People liked what I was doing and how I was doing it. And the rest is history, basically. I know a lot of people have followed the way, well, I would say in the Caribbean genre, have followed the way how I mix, you know, do mixes and remixes.
Awesome, man. That's amazing. And talk to me a little bit about, you know, why do you love DJing? What about the DJ, you know, opportunity that really stands out to you and that makes you, you know, have a love and passion for it?
Well, the passion is for the love of music, and I wouldn't say controlling the crowd, but making the crowd just go crazy. You put on a track and baby, everybody goes wild. You get on the mic, you say what you have to say, everybody goes wild. It's just like being an entertainer. You have the crowd doing this left and right, and that's my enjoyment, making the people happy. That's through great. My music.
That's amazing, man. And it's important, you know, that DJs play important roles in people's lives. You know, they are the ones that curate, you know, the weddings in regards to entertainment. They curate the, you know, music for different events that are super important in people's lives. You know, what are some things that, you know, DJs that, you know, are doing differently from other DJs, and including yourself, in regards to, you know, branding yourself and honing your craft to be an expert at what you do?
Well, when I first started, there was no Instagram, Facebook, and all that other stuff, social media. I just put myself out there, and that's what you have to do. I'd made my mixes, and I put it out for free. Because my thought process was, you put it out for free, and then you get hired, because people like what you did. A lot of guys used to say, why are you doing it for free? Why aren't you making them pay? Because if you pay, you just won't get hired. That's just my philosophy. Put it out for free. Everybody knows. Oh, yeah, Tony Temple did this. And I mean, still today, you know, he did this and we can hire him. And I've traveled all over. People bring me to the other countries, other states to do my thing. And they're happy with it.
Yeah, that's great advice, man. You know, put out value for free first. And exactly. You'll receive value out of it in return. You right. know, a lot of times people think, oh, I can't do this for free. I'm not going to do that for free. It's not worth my time, not worth my energy. And you're missing out on a huge opportunity because you're adding a blocker or a friction in between your opportunity. If exactly. someone has to pay you first to just get to know you, that's going to limit the amount of people you touch and interact with and build relationships with tremendously. But by you putting out value beforehand, you're creating value for yourself and your brand. You know, so tell me a little bit about your brand, DJ Tony Temple. How did you get the name? And tell me what that tempo, you know, that brand means to you.
Well, first of all, I like to say I started doing this in 98. Okay. So that was like the beginning. And that's how I marketed myself, doing the free stuff. The name Tony Temple came from Clark Atlanta University, where I was the soca DJ for the radio station. It was a reggae. It was a reggae station, basically. And this is when soca was starting to come in. Okay, so one night we had a free-for-all. You brought in your equipment, you're doing it live. I did it, and the reggae DJ did it also. So I went first, did my whole soca set. Then we did for a break, and I went in, and the host radio DJ asked the reggae DJ, are you ready? Okay, he said, well, I don't know if I can follow Tony's tempo. So I was looking to change my name because there was another DJ named DJ Tony, because I was DJ Tony at the time. I said, I was looking to change my name, and I said, wow, Tony Tempo. And at that point in time, I changed it to Tony Tempo.
Nice.
Big shout out to DJ Mealy for that. He's the one who inadvertently said that. So I took it.
That's an interesting story, man. I love it. You know, it makes a lot of sense, and it's an awesome story. Kind of, you know, why, how, and got your name, and kind of talks to your brand about, you know, your skill set and what you do to the crowds, man. I think that it's super amazing.
Right. And being kind of versatile, I could play the hip hop, the R&B, jazz, house music. I mean, it's all about knowing the music, knowing the bars, how to just mix and blend.
Amazing, man. So yes, this podcast is really helpful for DJs that are up and coming, and even DJs that want to take their game to the next level. Right. You know, what's some advice that you have for DJs that are struggling right now and are looking to, you know, do better with their brand, do better with their skill set? You know, what are some things that you did, you know, to really get yourself to the stage that you're at now?
Well, I was really aggressive in terms of marketing. Got to market yourself. In my case, I just had to put out I was the first one, so everybody flocked to me. But the way it is now, you know, a lot of people are DJs, but my thing is just be different. Don't be like everybody else. Market yourself, put yourself out there, do your mixes, put it out there. You got your SoundCloud, you got your MixCloud. Just the more people know your name or see you somewhere, the more they're going to remember, you know? And that's my advice. Just stick with it. Just keep going with it. Reach out to people, say, hey, you know, I can do this. You know, even do it for free. You know, I mean, free things I've done for promoters, and just get yourself out there, and then you can stop, you know, pricing yourself up, you know? But it is kind of a cutthroat business, so you got to be careful of that also. Just market yourself.
Definitely, man. And one thing we like to talk about here is the difference between DJing as a hobby, but also then DJing as a business and a profession. You know, what's some ways that you kind of transitioned, you know, from being just a hobbyist to someone that's actually a professional DJ? And how did you build the business of DJ around yourself as opposed to just doing it as a hobby?
I still think it's a hobby, really, but I don't know.
In regards to like getting your first client and you know, finding out your pricing structure, you know, just in running your business. I don't know how, you know, what are some things that kind of, you know, how a DJ, like, hey, I've been DJing, I learned how to DJ, and you know, now I want to make money doing it. Can you walk us through like how someone would go about doing that from your perspective?
Well, again, marketing is the thing. Reaching out to the club promoters and promoters, say, look, I'll do this for, you know, a low price, and they'll probably take you, and you work your magic, okay? And that's how it turns into a business, because then people will recognize you, and now you can ask questions of other DJs. What do you charge? I mean, yeah, what do you charge? Do your research. What does a DJ charge for weddings? What does a DJ charge for club DJing? You don't want to overprice yourself either, because you're going to overprice it and you just be out of the game. So you got to be in there somewhere. If you're that good, and you got to remember, people will flock to you, and that's how you can make your pricing structure. If you have something like you don't get that much people, of course, the promoter's going to look at that and say, okay, whatever, I'll pay you, you know, whatever it is. But if you flock in like 500 people, you're like, wow, yeah, okay, that's the price. Okay, we're good for that. Because I'm good for, you know, I paid in a lot of venues. When I say venues, big, like $10,000 people crowd. And because they knew who I was, a lot of them didn't know, but you know, it's just the fact that they knew the other DJs on the set too. And then they knew me. So now I can really, you know, call for a price amount of money. And it depends on the genre too. Like in the Caribbean, that'll be a different price versus, you know, in America. Quite a difference depending on the music you play too, so depends on the promoter also.
Definitely, man. It's a classic scenario of supply and demand. You know, if you have
exactly,
you know, the capability of drawing a large crowd and you're highly demanded, then you can, you know, offer for a higher price. So yeah, man, definitely. And you know, what are some things that you do to prepare for your next event? You know, how do you prepare for that and get ready to make sure you do it a good job?
Well, I ask the promoter, what's the age range? What type of people, like if it's for a wedding, what kind of music they want? What's the crowd like? You have to know these things. Because if you're in there, you're playing from a set, people from wherever, and you're playing this type of music, they're always gonna stand up and watch at you. You gotta be prepared. You have your Serato, make sure your crates are lined up properly and go through that. Always practice.
Definitely, man. That's super important. You got to be ready and, you know, put a lot of time and energy into your craft so that way you're satisfying your customers, right, man.
You have to invest in yourself.
Yeah, definitely. Also, in regards to, you know, other people investing in you, did you have any mentors or people that helped you along the journey?
I just listened to other DJs. Like, one DJ I used to listen to, his name is DJ Second Nature. I don't know if you know him. I don't even know where he's from. But he used to make some mixes, and that's how I patterned myself or, you know, after, way how he mixed and blend, especially doing what's called mashups. That's when I do my remixes that way. He's the one, DJ Second Nature, I would say. I could sit down and listen to him and pick out what he did and understand it.
Okay, cool, man. And tell me about like the current climate of the DJ community. You know, I hear mixed stories about, you know, some DJs say, hey, it's a great open community where people support one another. But then I hear the other side where they say it's a real, you know, environment where there's a lot of competition and people are not looking out for each other. You know, where do you, you know, stand in regard to how you view the current climate of the industry and what's changed and what we need to do to make it a positive one?
Well, the whole thing, everybody thinks they're a DJ now because of the whole laptop and Serato thing. You got to look at people's skills. I try to help people and they've gone on to do their thing. And that's just me. Help the young ones flourish. some guys just want to hang on my coattails. I'm like, no, you have to do your own thing, bro. You cannot copy me in a sense. I mean, it's flattery, but you can't, you know, copy me. Go out and I'll set you straight in how things should be and go that way. There's a lot of DJs. It's very flooded. I don't know what to say about that. You just have to stand out in your own way. And for DJs who are constantly on the mic, that really irritates me. I mean, people want to hear the music. I'm in the crowd and I'm hearing the women go, why is he talking so much? I want to hear the song. A lot of DJs say, well, a lot of people say, you know, Tony Tempo plays for the ladies. Well, yeah, because where the ladies go, the men will follow. You understand? Oh, yeah. And they like to sit there and they like to sing. They don't want to hear some guy saying whatever he has to say and drowning out the music. Oh, that irritates me. So, and that's how I do it. I don't talk that much. Let's talk more music. And it seems to be working for me.
Definitely, man. I think you have to have good balance with your MC skills, you know.
Yeah.
You gotta appease the crowd and you gotta know how to properly MC and not, you know, overpower your ability to speak and really feel what the audience is feeling. You know, if the audience, you felt that, hey, they want to hear you more, then do that. But if you're not reading the crowd properly, you got to make sure you just have balance in your MC.
Yeah. I mean, I don't talk through the verse. I may talk through the chorus because everybody knows the chorus, but I say it in time with the chorus. So I'm not talking over the chorus. You understand? So that's how I am.
Makes sense, man. I really appreciate you putting us on to some of the ins and outs of the way you go about your DJing. I would love to talk about, you know, some of the things that you're working on now and, you know, what you see for yourself in the future.
Well, they call me the veteran because I've been doing this a while. So in the future, it's just, I mean, things have changed now because of this COVID. Everything is streaming, which I don't mind because I'm safe in my house. I can party in my house, you know. People want to party still. I'm like, nah, I'm good. I'll stay right here where I'm safe. I don't need my mask. I'm good. Thanks. As for now, for the future, you just don't know. I mean, what I'm doing now is I do a lot of graphic designing. When I say graphic designing, I do a lot of video ads. I do logos. I do animated logos. So because of my IT background, software comes easy for me. So, you know, even though we cannot go out and do parties and whatnot, I'm comfy, you know, taking my business somewhere else, you know, in a different way. And that's what I've done. I am part of what's called World Fet Live. It's a big, big virtual party where we get DJs from all over the world on the soca side and put it out there. And this, the next one's going to be our fifth one. So it's been doing pretty well. Also, I'm part of Wear White in Atlanta. We would have had our 21st year last year, but COVID again. So you just cannot just be a DJ. You got to think. You got to do your thing. It's not about playing music, doing parties. You got to do your other thing because at one point in time, you're going to stop. So what are you going to do? What's your plan B? And also with the World Fet Live, I have some other partners from Canada and London. DJ Toro, Invincible, The Ultimate Sting, and Undercover. So we all put this together and we're all good. We're all good right now.
Awesome, man. That's super exciting. And you're a man of many talents and that's really dope, man. So I might have to hire you for some work soon.
Hey, no problem, man. I'm here. My work's all over the place. And you gotta think about plan B and C. Because you can't depend on DJing and doing a little measly job. No.
Yeah, man. And what are your predictions for the overall DJ industry? You know, do you think that COVID is going to really change it forever? Or do you think we're going to go back to normal after this thing is over? What's your prediction of the DJ industry for the future?
Well, the mind's a funny thing. When we first got COVID, nobody wanted to stay home and still, you know, do anything. But now I think people are getting used to staying home and partying. And once this is over, which I don't know when, I can't see 21, maybe 22. I can't tell. But everybody's looking for that first DJ to come out in a party and do their thing and go out. And maybe they just won't do it. They're so used to being in house. That might be another avenue of income. You know, let's go in the den and party. The DJ's on, you know, we pay him and we're good. So you never know.
Yeah, man, that's the future I'm betting on. You know, that's why I started the club. You know, I believe that virtual DJing is going to be a real huge thing, and I want to provide that opportunity with our platform. So,
oh, yeah, great. Man, I would like to be a part of that too.
Yeah, man, let's talk, man. I'd love to have you a part of our community. We have about 1,500 DJs right now that are on the platform. So yeah, we'd love to have you.
Yes, and also I'm part of Red Label out of Florida. So, you know, I got my hands in a lot of things.
Awesome, bro. Yeah, so this takes us to the lightning round. Are you ready to jump in?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Red Label Entertainment. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Great. Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
Hardware is a Pioneer something. What is it? DDJ SR. Because I just switched out from the SX. Serato, IBM, not IBM, Lenovo ThinkPad. That's what I use.
Besides yourself, who's your favorite DJ?
That's hard to say. I like DJ Second Nature. And I try to listen to others, but I don't want to be influenced by them. That's a hard question. That is a very hard question. I just can't say right now. Trying to get me in a spot.
All good, brother. What has been your favorite party or event you've DJed at and why?
I would say in Berlin, Germany. That crowd, it was great. They were very enthusiastic. I mean, for the carnival and the fetes. Do you understand what fete is? Okay, for people who don't know what fete is a party, basically. But that's what we call it. And the party was great. So many people came out to represent, and I was very impressed. And they did everything I said when I was on the mic. So they were very invested in it.
Who's the most interesting person you've met through DJing?
I would say Gerald Levert. I did in St. Thomas, we did something called Christmas on the Rock. It was myself, Mr. Levert, Frank Ski, which is a DJ out of Atlanta. He's a radio host. And certain other, Barris Hammond was on there too. And he gave me some good advice on how to be humble. And that's another thing too. You have to be humble. You cannot be cocky, because people look at that and just won't pay attention to you. As long as you're humble, people will come to you. And that's what I believe in. So he gave me some good advice. You got to be humble in what you do, and don't be overly aggressive and cocky. People just don't like that.
What's one thing that you hate about live streaming as a DJ?
Well, I've been having a problem, and I just figured out what it was. So if you don't know your computer system or about Wi-Fi and networks and all that stuff, which I do know, but I just didn't figure out it was my computer that was giving me issues, then you're kind of out, you're lost. For the streaming portion of it, which I don't like, I think it's a good avenue. I wouldn't say I don't like it. I'm safe at home. I could do what I do, set up my green screen, you know, all sort of stuff. And I don't have nothing bad about it. I don't see nothing bad about it. I mean, some DJs might think like they need the crowd for the feedback to carry on, but I don't need that. You just have to imagine in your mind that they're there doing their thing. That's how it is, especially being a radio host too. You got to do the same thing.
Shout out to DJs you know personally whose story needs to be shared on this podcast.
I would say DJ Toro, my guys that I work with, Toro, Invincible International out of Toronto, The Ultimate Sting out of Toronto, Canada, and Undercover out of Toronto. Let's see who else. Oh, DJ Gel, he's out of New York City. DJ Spice. That's it right now. You really put me on the spot there. I really have to think.
Awesome, brother. And where can people find you online or even in person if you're still doing events?
Well, no events. Online is DJ Tony Tempo. That's DJ Tony Tempo. The reason why I'm spelling it out, because some people think it's Tempo, like Temple. I said, no, I got a check one time. It said Tempo. I said, no, it's Tempo. So I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, of course. And if you just DJ, you know, I'm sorry, if you just Google my name, you'll see what's going on. Because I'm very known for my remixes and mixes. So I have everything out there. It's all about marketing, man. The more people see your name, the more, you know, they're drawn to you.
Awesome, bro. Hey, we appreciate you being on the My DJ Story podcast. This is a really great interview. Everyone, please check out DJ Tony Tempo. He's amazing. Check out his mixes and the things that he's doing online.
And I'd like to thank you for having me on here. Hopefully we'll do some work later. And I really appreciate what you're doing for the industry and for everybody. And it's a good idea.
Thank you, brother.
Blessings to you, man.
Are you a DJ? Well, we want to hire you as one of our official The Club virtual DJs. We've been working hard to source hundreds of paid virtual gigs, and we need DJs of all kinds that are interested in getting paid to curate virtual events for our clients. Whether you're a new DJ just getting started or a veteran in the game, we have paid gig opportunities for you. Text I'm in to 609-201-1027 to get notified for paid gig opportunities from The Club. Tell a friend. We look forward to working with you. Now back to the podcast.